Hello and welcome to the Managing Uncertainty podcast. I'm Brian Strausser, Principal and Chief Executive here at BrightPath. In this week's episode, I want to talk about closing the gaps, critical opportunities that we see for strengthening organizational resilience. What I'm going to share with you today comes from our report about managing uncertainty, what we've learned over the past decade of evaluating resilience programs. Now, in our minds, building a resilient organization is not just about surviving disruption. It is about finding ways to thrive amidst uncertainty. And we're certainly dealing with that right now in 2025. Our evaluations over the last 10 years, where we have looked at business continuity, crisis management, and IT disaster recovery programs across dozens of organizations in multiple industries, show pretty consistent patterns. Strengths that we can build on as resilience leaders, but also serious gaps that we need to close. And that's what I want to take you through today. Let's start with what best-in-class organizations are doing well. The best organizations have strong executive sponsorship for resilience. What I mean here is that they have a C-suite executive who acts as the executive sponsor for organizational resilience. They're the champion for business continuity, crisis management, IT disaster recovery, reputation management, physical security, all of those elements of what makes up resilience. The best organizations have effective multi-channel emergency communication processes. I'm really here talking about two things. First, the table stakes are that they have some kind of emergency notification tool like an Everbridge or an Alert Media or a OnSolve, what used to be SendWord now. But they have some tool that allows them to notify employees en masse where necessary and check on their well-being. But the second part is that they have a single source of truth and a centralized way of communicating updates, like communicating the state of affairs, the situational awareness during a major disruption. The third thing that best-in-class organizations are doing well is they have operational flexibility. They have built a process, a crisis management process, that allows them to understand what is happening, to come together and collaborate in the midst of a disruption, and make the decisions necessary to pivot quickly in a disruption. And lastly, the best-in-class organizations have clear business continuity planning at the process and organizational level, not just for technology, but on how they maintain continuity of operations for their businesses. The strongest organizations that we see treat resilience like the leadership function that it is, not as an exercise in compliance. That resilience is a key part of how they position themselves to deal with uncertainty going on in the world. Now let's talk about where companies really struggle. The first is that they lack formalized, The first is that they lack organized crisis management, a formalized crisis management process. Many of them will have ad hoc teams, but they will not have a disciplined, documented framework for crisis governance. Second is that they don't have good cross-functional collaboration. They have silos that slow down decision-making and response during an incident. They don't have a good way to cut across those silos as an organization, come together and manage a disruption. The third is that they don't have integrated business continuity. That business continuity is often treated as a dusty binder and not as part of an operational rhythm. They don't have good plans. Those plans are not kept up to date. The plans they have are not effective. And fourth, they don't test and iterate in order to have continuous improvement. Plans are written, but they're very rarely exercised or validated. They're not updated after real-world exercises. From our standpoint, the gaps that we leave open today will be the fault lines in our next crisis. So in terms of priority actions to close these gaps, we recommend the following four things: that you establish or mature your existing crisis management framework, you have clear roles and responsibilities, decision-making authorities, and escalation protocols. Second, that you build a resilience operating model that embeds business continuity and disaster recovery, crisis management, and cyber incident response together. It doesn't mean they have to be part of the same organization, but they do need to work and be governed together. Third is that we need to move testing away from just checking the box tabletop exercises to realistic cross-functional scenarios. And lastly, we need to tie business continuity into business as usual, not just emergency events. There are some clear strategic advantages to closing these gaps. It gives you faster, more confident executive decision-making under pressure, builds better stakeholder trust for customers, for your regulators, for your stakeholders, and it gives you higher or stronger operational agility, turns crisis responses into competitive advantage for you and your organization. Again, organizational resilience is not just defensive. This is a strategic accelerator when it is done right. So gaps as these are inevitable. Every company is going to have gaps, but leaders who recognize these and address them will help shape the future success of your organization. I would call on you to think about how you can audit and assess your resilience efforts in an honest way and close those gaps before they close you in. If we can help you with in any way with a program evaluation, what we call our resiliency diagnosis process, visit our website at brightpath.com and set up a call where we can talk through our process with you and help you identify those gaps that you can close and mature your program from here. That's it for this edition of the Managing Uncertainty podcast. I'll be back next week with another new episode. Be well.